From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. After months of pressure from environmental activists, California Governor Gavin Newsom has taken some action on oil and gas operations in the nation's richest state. He has effectively placed a moratorium on new hydraulic fracturing or fracking operations until they can be reviewed by an independent panel of scientists. In a statement made on Tuesday, Newsom said, "These are necessary steps to strengthen oversight of oil and gas extraction as we phase out our dependence on fossil fuels and focus on clean energy sources." Despite its reputation for leading the nation on climate policies, California's fracking industry has been booming under primarily Democratic leadership that has also been claiming to champion climate action. My guest is Mark Schlossberg, political director of Food and Water Watch Action. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what exactly is this step, this new rule that Newsom has announced? Let's get into the details of it. What does he mean by new operations need to be reviewed by a panel of independent scientists?
Well, the way I read it, there's actually four things that Newsom did. The things that he did were, one, he issued a letter to the California Public Utilities Commission regarding Aliso Canyon, which we can talk about. Second, he issued a release that deals with three things related to oil and gas in the state. The first thing is a moratorium on high-pressure steam. That's a process that's been linked to the big incident that happened outside of Bakersfield, about 35 miles outside of Bakersfield, where there was all the oil kind of seeping up. The second thing that he did was announce he's going to institute a rulemaking process to address health and safety of communities that are near oil and gas operations. The third thing that he did is this thing that you're talking about relates to fracking. And with regard to that, there's sort of been a de facto moratorium on fracking since July, when it was revealed by Consumer Watchdog and Fact Tracker that there have been a number of fracking permits that have been issued, a large number of fracking permits that have been issued during his first 6 months. With regard to fracking, what Newsom did when he released his directive was say that there's going to be two things done. One, the state auditor is going to be doing a study to see what additional regulations may be necessary and for compliance with the law. And number two, he said that fracking permits that are currently at a backlog and any additional permits that kind of come forward are going to be reviewed by a panel of experts who are at work at Lawrence Livermore Lab. And that panel will determine whether or not the permits comply with state law and whether they're approved or not. So to us, that's not really a moratorium on fracking. It's another layer of independent review and a process. We definitely think that overall, taken together, it's encouraging that Newsom's taking action on fossil fuels, something that his predecessor, Jerry Brown, was wholly unwilling to do. And there's some good things in here, but we definitely need Newsom to do much more.
Well, let's get into some of these details. The particular review panel would have add an extra layer to reviewing these permits, but aren't permits for fracking operations already supposed to be passing some sort of review, some kind of regulation? I mean, presumably one doesn't just fill out a form and get it approved without any kind of review when you're talking about injecting high pressure, chemicals into the ground to extract oil and gas. There has to be some regulation in place, right?
Yeah, I think this is in response to revelations that there were some conflicts of interest at Dogger.
Dogger stands for, remind us.
The Dogger is the Department of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, which has recently been renamed and given a new mission by legislation that was passed in the last session to CalGEM, which is the California Geological Energy Management Division. But it's the agency that regulates oil and gas in the state. And the way I read this third-party review is in response to those conflicts of interest and to make sure there's not conflicts of interest. Now, the way I read what Newsom put out, it doesn't say there's a moratorium on fracking. It says there needs to be this extra layer of review. And we think that this practice just needs to be stopped. So we're going to continue to push Newsom on that, even as he's announced some initiatives which are very, you know, positive direction, because we do need a governor who's willing to take action on oil and gas to regulate this industry and really manage a decline and phase out of fossil fuels in California, which we're very heartened that Newsom is voicing support for taking on. But we need him to definitely be to do more and to really follow through on some of these processes that has been started.
Let's talk about what he has said on the Aliso Canyon Natural Gas Storage Facility that's in Porter Ranch, California. What has he called for with respect to that? This is a facility that activists for a very long time have demanded a full closure of. They needs to be shut down and completely transitioned out, right?
Yeah, so when Governor Newsom was running, when he was candidate Newsom, he promised to expedite the closure of the Aliso Canyon Gas Storage Facility. And he said that to residents from the Porter Ranch community, from the impacted community, from this really massive gas blowout that happened 4 years ago on a number of occasions. What he said earlier this week was that he put in writing, which is significant for the first time for the governor to put in writing, that he wants to expedite the permanent closure of the Aliso Canyon Gas Storage Facility. That's significant. Governor Brown had talked about it happening in 10 years. That's outrageous. And Newsom also directed the Public Utilities Commission to conduct a study with a third-party expert to identify alternatives to the facility and ways that it could have a shorter path to closure. In our view, it's a good step that he's acknowledging in writing to the Public Utilities Commission that the facility needs to be permanently closed. But there's been a lot of study about this. It's been 4 years since the blowout. And really, there needs to be a timeline, a date certain as to when this facility is going to be shut down. It doesn't do us any good to have a study for a few years and that recommends closing it another few years. There's been a lot of studies. What we want Newsom to do, what really Newsom should be doing, is saying to the Public Utilities Commission, this facility needs to be permanently closed within 6 months or within a year. And you need to figure out how to do that and make it happen.
So the longer it stays open, the more the risk of continuing accidents that are impacting the communities that live nearby?
Yeah, I mean, there's been restricted. It hasn't been having normal operations, but there was a fire that just approached the facility recently. Luckily, nothing happened. It's an ongoing risk to the community. And the community wants it closed down permanently.
Right. I mean, with our wildfires plaguing the state, with climate change that is, of course, fueled by these very extractive industries, then threatening to increase the risk of accidents at such facilities, it really is a pretty frightening combination. Now, didn't Newsom fire a regulator earlier this year who had essentially been the one who had been, just going back to the issue of the fracking permits, that had been approving these fracking permits, I understand, at twice the rate under Jerry Brown.
That's right. That's right. In July, Newsom took that action, which, again, was very positive. And there's been a de facto, I would say, moratorium on fracking
because of that firing
since then. Hmm. So that's all. That's positive as a step in the right direction. And I will say that, like, Newsom as a California governor beginning to take on fossil fuels is significant and is really a testament to all the organizing that's been going on in communities across California, from the Central Valley to Los Angeles to Northern California to the Central Coast, around stopping these oil and gas operations, which are really poisoning communities and our climate. And so we've seen him move. Some, it's very important that he's taking these steps, but there's just a lot more that really should happen to really protect communities and protect our climate.
I'm so glad you brought up this issue of the grassroots activism. For years, communities in California, many of them frontline communities, vulnerable communities, who have been suffering environmental racism because they're disproportionately living in areas that these operations are near have been speaking out about the health effects that they face, because fracking operations don't just have a long-term impact on the climate, they have a very devastating short-term impact on health because they're extremely toxic, right? So these communities have been speaking out and marching and protesting and targeting local governors, but also rather local mayors, but also the governor's office. This is in part their victory, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the governor beginning to move on these issues is definitely a product of years of organizing community by community, of people in their communities standing up saying, we need to have health and safety protections for our communities. We need to have these operations shut down. We need to have a setback to make sure that the health and safety of communities are protected. So definitely, this is a great victory in terms of Newsom taking action, in terms of a governor moving forward for this whole grassroots movement that has developed over the many, many years. At the same time, it's not a complete victory. It is a step towards larger wins that are going to protect communities. There's going to be a rulemaking process, and we are going to be doing what we can to support our grassroots allies that have been calling for things like a 2,500-foot setback, which is important. The science tells us we need to have these kind of setbacks to protect communities' health. And so it's important that this rulemaking process not go on for too long, that it actually consider these very real solutions that the environmental justice communities are bringing forward, and that it ultimately ends with a significant 2,500-foot setback that will protect these communities.
I want to quote from a recent report that your organization, Food and Water Watch, released called California Leads: How to Break Fossil Fuel Dependence in the Golden State. And it pointed out just how prevalent this industry is in California. In 2014, nearly 14% of Californians, primarily people of color, lived within a mile of at least one well. And the closer people live to drilling, the higher is their potential exposure to hazardous pollutants that increase the risk of respiratory and neurological problems, birth defects, and cancer. In Los Angeles, the communities closest to oil development suffer from headaches, asthma, and nosebleeds. Drilling in California happens close to homes, hospitals, and schools. So we're not talking about wells primarily in rural areas or in areas where there's just a sort of low concentration of residency of population. A lot of it happens in this state in very high density population areas. So how has California over the past few years been a leader in spite of Jerry Brown's refusal to take on the fracking industry and in spite of Gavin Newsom taking, you know, a little bit long to take a modest measure?
Yeah, well, I would say California as the state government has not really been leading on these issues. Communities have been leading on these issues in pushing initiatives at the local level, at the state level, and really moving this agenda. And that's why this agenda is now kind of at the state level. There's a great coalition in Los Angeles, Stand Against Neighborhood Drilling, which has been advocating a very powerful campaign for a 2,500-foot setback in Los Angeles. There's been communities across the in the Central Coast that have been fighting back against drilling projects in their communities in Ventura and Santa Barbara. There was a fracking ban that was passed in Monterey County and San Benito County. And there's been really powerful organizing happening in Kern County as well. And it's really the product of all these campaigns, all this organizing that's been happening at the local level that's been moving things up to the state level, which is really important. Governor Brown was in office during his entire time in office, was unwilling to take on these issues despite a tremendous amount of community pressure. Governor Newsom has come in and the pressure has continued to mount, and he has said that he's going to take some action. And now it's up to us to continue to hold him to account and make sure that he follows through on these actions and takes even bolder actions, which are necessary to protect the health and safety of communities across California and the climate that we all depend on.
Now, there have been, even under Newsom's watch, many new permits that have been approved. Would any of what Newsom announced this week apply retroactively to those new permits?
I don't know, I will say, because there's not a lot of detail in what was released. My sense is that it would not apply to permits that have already been granted, although some of those permits may have been granted for drilling and they have not gone in to try and do high pressure steam. So potentially the high pressure steam could apply to some of those wells. But the bigger picture is that these are important steps that Newsom's taken. But as you point out, permits have continued for drilling have continued to increase. And you can stop things like high pressure steam, and then there's still low pressure steam and a whole host of other techniques that can be used. So this is a step, but it's in many ways a small step. And we need to continue to build pressure and continue to make the case to Gavin Newsom that he needs to take more steps, bolder steps, more comprehensive steps that will actually result in a reduction of production and move the state off of fossil fuels and onto 100% renewable energy, because really our health and our climate do not have the time.
Exactly. I mean, this phase out that he talked about, he said in a statement that we have to strengthen oversight of oil and gas extraction as we phase out our dependence on fossil fuels and focus on clean energy sources. We've been hearing the words phase out from politicians for a very long time now. And I understand something like 2045 is a goal year. These should have been phased out yesterday, not, you know, 30 years from or 10, 15 years from now.
That's right. We don't have the time. And look, we've called for, along with the coalition that we're part of called Last Chance Alliance, an immediate halt to all permits for fossil fuels. That's not what this is. And, you know, while this is a step, that's where we really need to be. And we really need to be there very soon, like now. You know, the continuing to increase oil production, if you think about it, it's like our house is on fire, as they say with the climate strikes. The house is on fire, and we're continuing to put fuel on the fire while we're waiting for the fire department to arrive. That makes no sense. We need to be stopping the increase of production right away. We need to have an immediate moratorium on new fossil fuel permits. And then we need to talk about how we're going to reduce the existing production and wells that are already in existence.
Now, those who would say, I'm with you on the need for climate action, but we can't just stop oil and gas production in California tomorrow because it would completely destroy California's economy. How do you respond to people on that note? Because that's the issue that's raised.
What we're talking about is stopping new production. Let's just stop expanding fossil fuel in California.
And that wouldn't impact the state's economy?
And then begin to draw it down. Well, we need to invest in renewable energy. And renewable energy jobs produce a huge number of jobs in the economy. We need to have a just transition for workers in the fossil fuel industry. That's an absolute imperative. We need a comprehensive, really, approach to this, both at the state level and at the national level. And if you look at what's going on in Los Angeles right now, that's sort of what we're trying to do. Los Angeles just approved this Elon Solar project, which is a huge solar project that's going to create good jobs, and we'll end up providing solar power and battery storage for over, I think, 280,000 homes in Los Angeles. There needs to be a good marriage between the environmental renewable energy programs and labor, and labor needs to be at the table, and labor rights need to be considered and incorporated into all these renewable energy projects. That's essential. But we don't really have a choice. We see the climate data. We see what's happening. We cannot afford to continue to increase our oil production. Things are just going to get worse. We see the fires raging. We see the storms that happen, hurricanes, et cetera, droughts. We don't have a lot of time, and we need to really take this seriously, like it is the crisis it is, and advance bold solutions to move off of fossil fuels and to build the renewable energy economy that we need.
How far along is the renewable energy industry in California? And are taxpayers continuing to subsidize fossil fuels at the expense of renewable energy industries?
Well, that's a good question. I don't have the numbers for California on that. But I will say that we definitely need some direction from the top. We are continuing to increase production of oil and gas in California. And here's an example. Like, we have, I think, 7 new power plants that are expected to come online. We have over 300 fossil fuel power plants in the state. We've got hundreds of thousands of miles of oil and gas pipelines in the state. We're beginning to build out our renewable energy, and it's increasing. Like, this project in Los Angeles is a great example of how we can move things forward. But we really need to harness all the resources of our economy towards making this transition. And this isn't just something that can happen in Los Angeles alone or in the state alone. It needs to be a national, it's a global problem. But at all levels of government, we need our elected officials to really be advancing these bold solutions and do something that is bold and visionary, like saying, we're not going to continue to issue fossil fuel permits in California. We're going to make a concerted effort to stop issuing those permits. We're going to institute a setback to protect communities, and we're going to create the just transition that we really need in this state to 100% renewable energy.
So the upshot of Gavin Newsom's action is good first step, but only one step in what's needed, you know, in terms of what's actually needed, which is much, much more drastic.
That's right. It's significant. It's very significant in the sense that this governor is signaling that he's willing to do things to take on the fossil fuel industry, because Governor Brown was not willing to do that at all. But as you've said, it is a first step, and there needs to be many, many more bigger, bolder, and more comprehensive steps to come.
Do you finally suggest that members of our audience contact Newsom's office, thank him for doing what he's done, and then demand that he go much further?
Absolutely. I mean, that's how we're going to continue to build this campaign. Governor Newsom signaled that he's willing to do things. It's up to us to create the political environment that gets him to where we need to be. And I think that the actions that he announced this week are the result of lots of organizing that happened in communities across the state. This is a win for people who have been working on these issues in their communities for years. But we need to continue to build that campaign, make it broader, get more pressure, continue to make sure that Newsom understands that this is an important issue that he needs to take action on. So yes, definitely.
I want to thank you so much, Mark, for joining us today. Give out a website for Food and Water Watch.
Yeah, you can find us at foodandwaterwatch.org.
We'll link to that from our site. Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Mark Schlossberg is a political director of Food and Water Watch Action. We've been discussing California Governor Gavin Newsom's actions to curb the fracking industry that Food and Water Watch says are a good first step, but don't go nearly far enough. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.